While we start looking into the issues that you have on this yesterday, as you can see on your left agenda for today, another agenda is here. Let's start. I hope that Bart will join us a little later. May I ask you, Kirk, thinking of, I'm sure she's up somewhere close. First, we need to start recording, right?
The recording is on.
Thank you very much, Kim. Hello everyone. Welcome. May I ask Kim, any other apologies apart from Nigel?
Yep, just the apology from Nigel is the only one I received.
Thank you. Second agenda item, it's minutes and actions. As you know, we have distributed the minutes already in January. No comments were received, so we consider the minutes approved. We also have three actions from the last meeting. And two of them are completed and one is still ongoing, so there's a lot of things to do regarding the new bylaw. So, the overview of intermeeting council decisions. We had three. One is a selection of CCNSO liaison to ALAC. Another was a decision to support the limited scope for ATR T3 review, and the third one was the support for Nigel's proposal to seek for more information on travel funding, and we'll talk about that on this agenda item number 8. But here I would like to stress a little bit development, if I may say so, around this selection of the CCNSO liaison. It used to be much worse in some of the previous rounds. But anyway, the Secretariat had to send out two or three reminders during the we already talked about that. So, show our commitment, and therefore there's a proposal that we start noting not only our attendance to the council, but also our votings. Meaning that, of course, we do not record how people have voted, but we note that there was a response from a particular councillor. So I hope that no one objects to that, and we can swiftly move forward to the next agenda item. It's about appointment of our volunteer liaison. As member, Center has supported the liaison for several years, but now unfortunately Patrick stepped down, and that means that we need new liaison to the CC GMSO. Sorry. The Secretariat opened the call for volunteers, and it closed on 7th February. and we received two names from Ben Fuller. We know Ben very well. He's very active on the Guidelines Review Committee. And from, but his full name is, okay, I closed the his application, but it was Abi Bini. And he is a treasurer of treasurer from Nigerian registry. He has his own company, and therefore quite his time, his schedule is quite flexible. So we have to select among these between these two candidates. And I think I suggest that the secretariat starts the selection process say tomorrow. And each of us will submit the name of our preferred candidate. And as usually, you'll be assigned a ballot so that by the end of next week, the most preferred candidate surfaces, and we can appoint our liaison to GNSO. And please note that this time we will vote. We will note the voting, the fact of the voting, not which candidate was preferred by a councillor, but the fact that the councillor has voted, and it will be properly shown on our wiki, so that the community can see and, well, if necessary, talk to their selected councillor to be more active. Okay, thank you. Are there any questions, anything you'd like to add? No? If not, then let's move to the next agenda item. It's about specific reviews. Okay, as you know, we have selected three our preferred candidates for FSR 2, and also gave, if I remember correctly, four more names to the pool of potential members should the SOAC chairs decide that they want to have a full review team, and full review team is 21. On the Tuesday evening, Tuesday, we had a call with SOAC chairs regarding all those reviews, and there was a decision. It's not officially approved yet, but the idea is that currently there are 15 members appointed directly, and plus a pool of potential members. But it was decided that we go forward with 15 candidates, 15 members on the review team, and the review team then decides whether they need some additional members, and if they decide that they need, due to various reasons, diversity, skill set, or anything else, then they can just look at the pool of potential members, invite them to the team, or according to the bylaws, they can also look for external experts. But that will be outside of the... actually, it could be also within the pool, but anyway, they have the right to look for external experts. So that's progress regarding SSR 2. There was more discussion about RDS, or Registry Directory Services, X, who is, about the scope of the review. GAC supports things that this review may include issues already covered by the RDS PDP efforts, but the GNSO thought that the review should exclude issues already covered by RDS PDP effort. So there was a discussion all around these issues too, and there's no decision yet, but the idea is that most probably we'll come up with the guidelines for the review team, and they will then think and decide about the scope of following the guidelines given to them. So it will be basically up to the review team to decide about the scope. So that's about these two things, and next is about ATRT3. one more thing about RDS. There are at this moment DRS most probably directory registry, you know, registry direct. Oh, okay, whatever. There is one thing that we already have applicants, and some of them have indicated that they would like to be endorsed by the CCNSO. But at this moment, we're waiting for these guidelines, so we develop the guidelines, and then again we approach the those people who applied and ask if they are okay with the scope, and maybe perhaps we'll need to launch another call for volunteers. So that's about the registry directory services. Then, of course, again, there's ATRT. We agreed to a limited scope, and apparently there's no discussion about that. Nobody objected to having a limited scope for this review, not to have any collisions with the work of CCWG on accountability. About the operating standards, we're still waiting for them, but there's a progress. There will be a webinar, actually two webinars, so if you're interested, apply and participate in those webinars. And the plan is to have something to show or in Copenhagen. One more thing about the reviews. It's actually about SSR2. There were very few candidates, really few candidates, applicants from the LAC region. And none of them had been selected to six applicants from the LAC region, and none of them was selected to SSR2 team. Have to note that we haven't received any names from the LAC region. So I'd like to address now our counselors from the LAC region. Maybe you could try to foster some more participation, because then RDS, this Registry Directory Services, there's only one applicant from a LAC region, so might not be selected either. So really not good to have several review teams and none of LAC representatives on those teams. Europe is the most active, I think, in both. SSR2, the largest number of applicants were from North America. Europe was not active. But for Registry Directory Services, Europeans are more active. What is the timing for SSR2 next step? It's a question from Byron. That's a very good question. The plan is, I think they expect the team to meet in a couple of days. But to be honest, it's really, it looks quite dark, at least to me. As I mentioned, we are going to, there will be an email, and again, everybody will have to confirm that we proceed with 15 people on the team and let them select their additional members should they want to. But after that, yes, apparently ICANN is planning to inform those on the team that they have been selected. And then they have start moving. You know, I think that Copenhagen is what they're aiming at. First meeting. I hope I at least try to answer your question. So that's about these review teams and operating standards. Still a lot of unclarities. So next. Is about organizational review of the C team itself. Well, I have to tell you that the beginning is not very promising because we haven't been able to organize a webinar yet. We tried it twice and both times we failed due to various reasons. But well, apparently we have to do that anyway. And, okay, so we'll try to organize another webinar with representatives from ICANN staff who are managing this and with our working party members. So, as discussed, yeah, as I already told that we have this working party, that's a good thing. And, yeah, apparently we will just need to reschedule the webinar again. And we are planning to have a community session to inform the community about the media during Signature meeting days in Copenhagen. So, next, are there any questions about the seasons or review? Well, now I'm reading ALAC's review, draft reports on ALAC's review. Well, it looks like they're working very seriously to review those SOD seasons. Let's see how it goes with us. So any questions, any comments on this one? No. Then let's move next to guidelines. And there are a few things. So one is we're working on the guideline on council elections. I think I mentioned it during the last call. But there's one thing that the Guidelines Review Committee would like you to think about and discuss. So it's currently, according to, as I already mentioned last time, I'm sure I did that, but you do not remember, because I could hardly remember it myself. As I mentioned, it currently we have... We run elections, council elections, in autumn. And which means that our newly selected councillors or re-elected councillors take their seats in March. So it's the first meeting of the year. According to the ICANN bylaws, we are supposed to have a new re-elected councillors already in autumn, so the last meeting of the year. So here is, well, our current practice does not, is not what the bylaws tell us to do. But my understanding is that legal guys, like legal guys, do not mind. It's they haven't minded ever about us having a different practice. But this is something that the Guidelines Review Committee would like to hear your opinion on that. Because definitely we can change it and run our elections already in the first part of the year, so that we have our regionally selected councillors and NOMCOM appointed councillors at the same time. So NOMCOM follows the timeline as described in the bylaws, which means that they the NOMCOM councillors take the last meeting of the year. So have you had time to think about this, or maybe you have some immediate ideas about that? Really would like to hear your preferences. Should we just go on as we do, and it gives us opportunity to question potential councillors before elections at the last meeting of the year, or if we organize the run the elections nominations and elections a little bit earlier, which means around April, May, then we have a time to question them during a meeting or a second meeting of the year, which is theoretically smaller, so that fewer people might be there to question the candidates. And then we have elections, and elections run into hot vacation season, at least in the northern hemisphere. So there are pluses and minuses for both approaches. So if you have any immediate reaction, or maybe then if nobody wants to speak, just to check if you're still awake, would you do the kind of voting? Yeah, we have this in Adobe Connect. On the top, you can select agree or disagree. So the question is, do you agree to change the date of our election so that it fits goes according to the bylaws? Debbie, please.
Well, thanks, Katrina. I suppose I'm just wondering what's going to happen to this so-called policy meeting B. How many people are going to continue to turn up to actually question the candidates, and what level of people. I'm still, I suppose, a little bit confused about the expectation of participation at that level B, that meeting B. I think that the one that we had last year, everyone turned up to and contributed to as normal. And if that continues on, then I have no issue with talking to candidates or whatever at that meeting B. But if CCTLD managers start opting out of that meeting or sending other people, then that is the only issue I would have about that.
No, yes, thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Yes, it's still unclear, and we're still working on... it's difficult to explain, but we kind of expected it to be messy, but I think I might try to be very diplomatic. It doesn't get less messy, so it's still unclear how it will go. How this meeting B will evolve, and if there is space for normal CCTLD work as we are used to. So it's really not clear yet. So I cannot answer your question either way. Byron, please.
Thank you. I'm wondering if this issue might be a good symbolic opportunity, if nothing else, to continue to reinforce and remind the broader ICANN community about the relative independence of the CCNSO. And given that, like I said, I think this might be a relatively minor issue, is there any particular reason why we should, for the CCNSO's sake, make this change? And perhaps it is an opportunity to just remind symbolically that we are independent of ICANN and we will march to our own beat. And I wonder if I might just get comments from colleagues one way or the other just about this as an opportunity to remind the community that CCNSO remains an independent entity. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Byron. I did not expect a comment like that from you because you're Canadian. You're supposed to be very polite and follow the rules. Okay, that's a joke. Okay, now, please, for soul's sake, absolutely no need to change anything. We're used to this. Okay, he was polite. That's true. Byron's always very polite. Yes, there's for the CCNSO, absolutely not, no gains, well, apart from the fact that we have all the counselors at the same time. Not that NOMCOM one time and regional counselors another time. That's the only thing I can think of. Plus, yes, of course, yeah, well, it's... I don't know if we might run into any trouble with legal things in the future because, well, it's the bylaws, and we're kind of bound by bylaws. But I agree, we can have our own stance on that. As a lawyer, I would prefer to have it according to the bylaws. As a bully IT person, I would absolutely side with Byron and his comment. So, in the chat window, I see Stephen and Demi agreeing with Byron, meaning that apparently we want to have our own flag. And wave it enthusiastically and show that we are not like others who follow the Bible. So that's a short summary. Okay, any other comments? Okay, if not, then I will just convene your message back to the GRC and think that, okay, we just leave it as it is. Unless somebody objects and thinks that we should change. Any other lawyer here on the call? If not, okay, thank you. Let's move forward then. Next is adoption of the guideline of business council practices. As a new, it's an updated guideline, but we changed the title. It used to be Citizens of Council Meetings Guideline. Now it's updated and some new things have been added to the guideline. For example, regarding our transparency, meaning that we inform the community a week before about the council meeting and invite some comments from them. That's one of the new things that have been added to the document. So you see the draft resolution. So may I ask for a mover? Who would like to move?
Byron, I'll move.
Byron, thank you. Second. Okay, apparently Stephen, second. Thank you. Are there any questions? Anything? So I just would like to add that this guidelines have been sent to you first for review. Then, we received none of, haven't received any comments from you. Then we sent it to the community, some members asking for their comments, did not receive any. And this is the final version as it was sent to you earlier. So if there are no questions, then may I ask for a vote. Who is against? Anyone abstains? No? Thank you. This document has been approved, and so may I ask the Secretariat to remove all the draft references to drafts in the footer and add the date of adoption by the Council and publish it online. So, thank you very much. Let's move forward. As it was already mentioned, Nigel raised the issue after the last council call. So as you know, to date we have 12 travel slots, which includes travel, a hotel accommodation, and per diem. And so we have a guideline. Currently, we're working on the guideline, therefore it's a really hot topic, at least for the GRC. And the number of slots is perhaps one of the smallest among us all they see, which of course shows our independence from ICANN, but at the same time may make participation from smaller CCTLDs more problematic. So, if we want to increase the number of travel slots, then we just looked into the procedure. So, and we found out that if we want to increase the number of slots, then we should ask for the increase during the public comments period, when the ops plan and budget is published for public comments. Otherwise, if we do not do that, which is around beginning of March, then we can do something only for financial year 2019. And maybe Byron could comment something more on that. When our financial working group works on the document, the guideline about financial contributions to the CCTLDs make to ICANN, they took into account only these 12 travel slots. So if we change the number of slots, it might impact. Maybe we will have to look into some. Guidelines for financial contributions from CCTLDs. So, as you can see on your screen, we have two questions that we need to discuss. One is, are we going to seek for the increase in number of travel slots? And if yes, then the most probably it's going to be a cease and desist statement procedure according to our guideline. And if yes, so then what is the number of slots that we think would be necessary for the CC in itself? Or in this respect, CCTLDs in general. So who would like to... Unfortunately, Nigel cannot join us today due to personal reasons. So that's unfortunate because he's really looking into all these issues, and he did some digging and twisting. So he knows more about that. But if somebody else wants to say something, and I see that Peter would like to start the discussion. Thank you. Peter, please. Peter, stop talking, unmute first, and then please continue.
Okay, this should go better. Sorry. The 12 travel slots, is that 12 on annual basis? It's not per ICANN meeting?
It's per meeting, yes.
Ah, okay.
If you're still talking, then you're muted again. Or was it just a question?
It was just a question, Katrina. Thanks for answering.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Then please lower your hand. Debbie, please.
I'd like to see a little bit more flexibility, perhaps, around those 12 travel slots. I know that within the Asia Pacific, the three Asia Pacific councillors, that Hiro and I, we're funded by work and work is prepared to pay. So we decline our funding. And then there's rules around that, you know, a councillor can't get it twice in a row and other such things. It would be great if we could almost manage a pool where we then reallocate. And I'm not quite sure how it works, and it might be that you do that, but it'd be good to actually have a way that when a councillor chooses not to take up the funding that's available, it is made available to another CCTLD representative in, I don't know, some sort of open, transparent way, but a simple way so that we can actually share the funding in that way as well. So there's two issues there, is whether we go to increase the 12 we've got, or whether we look for more flexibility as to how we can use the 12 we already have.
Thank you, Debbie. I think we're quite flexible on that, apart from like that we have to fund the three non-com councillors. Then we have one a slot per councillor per region. Oh, sorry, not regional councillors, the CCTLD councillors, and then we have the remaining slots distributed among those. But yes, if the councillors in their region do not use their slots, then those slots can be allocated to other people in the region, or if there are no volunteers from the region, then to others. Yeah, in principle, as Bart writes in the chat window, in principle, four slots for non-councillors. But unlike others, constituencies, not always we have the opportunity to fund our liaisons, for example. Therefore, center support or provided for our liaisons. GNSO was very, very valuable, so it saved us a slot to allocate to other CCTLDs. Oh, Maureen, please. Maureen, either you're either you're muted or not speaking. Please speak up. No. At least I cannot hear you. Maybe somebody can, but. Okay, maybe later. At this moment, I cannot hear it. Peter, please.
Hi, Katrina. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, thank you. I'm just wondering, maybe I missed the discussions that you referred to where Nigel has been contributing, but what problem are we trying to solve? Do we have, or have there been instances where people that would have been contributing couldn't make it to the ICANN meeting? So, in other words, what problem are we trying to solve? Thanks.
Yes, of course. That's one of the issues we're trying to solve, because for smaller registries, it's really a challenge to participate in the meetings, and you know, they have real knowledge and time to contribute, they cannot participate in the meetings directly. So this is one of the issues we're trying to solve. Yes. So, so Maureen wrote in that window. She wanted to say that ALAC has 27 slots specifically for ALAC members and regional leaders, plus for the GNSO and CCNSO liaison. Yeah, that's Doki has always pointed it out to us that others fund their liaisons for us, it has always been a challenge. Okay. And according to Maureen, Alan Greenberg has just requested another travel slot for the GAC liaison. So about NOMCOM, I don't know about for NOMCOM counselors, would it be possible to free these spots from the CCNSO so that it's directly sponsored by ICANN general pool? It's a question from King. Not sure I can answer that. Bart, can you comment, or Jochen, maybe you know?
This is Bart. As far as I know, even for the others, say NOMCOM appointees, this was one of the reasons for including it, were always funded as part of these slots. And that started the whole, if I recall, in 2008, the introduction of the travel funding. And then, say, they added additional slots or ICANN staff at the time. And, yeah, I think originally all SOs and ACs received 12 slots, and then the others increased their numbers.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, unfortunately, some people at Byron have to drop off the call. Maybe this is something that we should think about and discuss online. And while Byron is still with us, well, let's move to the next agenda item. It's an update from the CSC, RZAC, and ECAC. So, Byron, please, would you like to say anything about CSC?
Thank you, Katrina. Our regular monthly meeting is held typically in the second week of the month, so we will be having our regular CSC meeting next week. So I can't update you on the January report yet, but I can, I think, give you some confidence that thus far each and every meeting we've had has gone a little bit smoother than the previous one. The metrics that we're monitoring overall have been satisfactory in terms of IANA performance and the SLAs that they have agreed to meet. There have been some metrics that have been very outside the defined requirements, but have been readily explained in a reasonable and understandable fashion. So we continue to monitor those, but there is nothing that is giving us cause for concern in any way, shape, or form. on the regular metrics as outlined in the SLA, and we continue to work on the next couple of pieces of business for the CSC, which is around essentially escalation procedures and an annual survey. Essentially, the survey is around the quality and performance of IANA in terms of a satisfaction index. So we're working on that. We're working on that now. Those are the next two pieces of business that we'll be attending to over the next couple or several of our meetings. So far, so good. And the team at IANA has been relatively responsive to our suggestions, inputs, and queries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I must say that I keep hearing very good feedback about the work of the CSC. Apparently, thanks to contribution from our two members on this group, Byron, who took the lead and squeezed all the necessary resources from ICANN. Unfortunately, I cannot say the same about ARSARC. It's this structure is really very difficult. It looks very difficult at the moment. There's no much progress there, as far as I know. I'm sure that Jay also contributes a lot. That's why CSC is working perfectly and keeps delivering. About ARSARC, it's still unclear how ARSARC could be involved in the process. And there might be some pushback from some other community. Stephen, may I ask you for an update on ECAC?
Good morning, Katrina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I've got three issues to bring to council. Let me begin by putting on my GRC member hat and, in that regard, report to council that the GRC is actually getting ourselves organized with help from ICANN staff. So I think within a matter of a couple of weeks, we will probably actually be constituted as an ECA. We have a mailing list now, and we will go forward from there, et cetera, et cetera. Let me take that hat off and put my counselor hat on. And I have two things to discuss with council this morning. The first is with respect to developing the guidelines for handling matters that come to us as the empowered community. Focus has been on Appendix D, Section 2, this rejection petition stuff. I have an outline. It's been reviewed by Jordan Carter and Ben Fuller. We're kicking it around. We're getting some language in place. We're getting a glossary in place, and that will go before the Guidelines Committee shortly. Hope to have that available for at least a council peek, if not a council vote, at the Copenhagen meeting. Last issue I want to bring to council's attention is the recent board meeting and its vote on requests by the Board Governance Committee, which is chaired by Krista Spain, our counselor, one of our counselors, to form a new board committee to handle accountability mechanisms. Chris feels that the BGC is getting overwhelmed by these and wants to spin this off into a separate board committee that just handles this stuff. And this is a change to a fundamental bylaw, which is going to trigger an approval action request to the community. This request is going to require at least 3 SOs to approve this before this can actually go into effect. We then, as a community, as an SO, have got to A, inform our community about this, and B, I believe as council, we need to make a decision about this. This to me looks really non-controversial. They want to spin off responsibility for dealing with these independent review stuff to another committee. I don't see an issue with it. We're going to have to act nimbly about it under Annex B, Section 1. Those who are at home. I'm just bringing this to the attention of council. We're going to have to deal with this when it comes down. I think we can deal with it quite well, actually. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's like, okay, they want to spin this stuff off into another board committee. What the what? Fine. They're not trying to bury anything here. They're just trying to get another group to deal with this because they're getting volumes they weren't expecting. And it's Chris's request, and I respect him. I respect the request. So that's where I stand on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Are there any questions? Comments or anything you'd like to raise? If not, thank you. Let's move forward. Group updates. There are no material changes since previous update we received of the CCWG accountability. We also see a written update from Annabeth about the CCWG on country, use of country and territory names, and are waiting for update from Yangon, and we also received an update from King on the auctions proceeds. About other working groups, GRC, as I already mentioned, we're working on the council election guideline. We're also working on the trouble funding guideline and a few others. We keep discussing, Stephen keeps pushing us all the things that we need to implement because of the new bylaws. Qing, please, you have a question or a comment about your update.
Oh yeah, thank you, Trina. As you just mentioned, I'll bring the update on the CCWG auction proceed formal way once we have our second meeting actually in a few hours time. In the Copenhagen meeting, I will have a more information regarding the work today, which we only have one meeting actually previously, but the work is on the way. But I'd like to bring the council one breaking news. It just happened a couple hours ago. The GNSO appointed co-chair Jonathan Robinson has sent out a note to the CCWG mentioning his intention of stepping down as a co-chair, there is a reason, but primarily because of the affiliates .web, the new GTLD application that could potentially lead him to a conflict of interest, which he's not able in his co-chair capacity is not able to avoid. So I'd like to bring this up. I think so far we've there's not much impact so far. This just happened, and Jonathan has brought this to me as the interim co-chair. He plans to continue to stay and transit this role until the GNSO appointed a new co-chair. So and then I'll also keep the council here for the latest update from time to time. So, but I thought it's worthy to bring this up now. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean. I think now we please lower your hand, and otherwise I will give you floor again. Thank you. So next is update from Program Working Group. Alejandra, floor is yours.
Yes, thank you very much. This time I've sent you the draft agenda by email also, so you can have a better look because the screen is a little bit small. The main changes in the agenda have been the confirmation of the sessions that were pending. For example, on... can we make it scrollable, please? I'll go all the way to Wednesday. Sorry, Tuesday. I was hoping to be able to call it myself. Thank you very much. There, you can see we have confirmation of the ICANN board. We will meet with them on Tuesday at 2 p.m. And also, we have confirmation from the GAC that we will meet them that same day at 11. So, having those two meetings finally confirmed, we had to shuffle all the other sessions around a little bit, but they're still there. So, there will be the introduction, the working group updates, and then... And then the GAC, the board, and then we will continue in our room with the PDP, ICANN update, and the legal session forum. That's for Tuesday. And for Wednesday, we moved some of the sessions that were on Tuesday. And we will start when Mike and Chris confirm with us, if they are available at that time, with them. And then regional organizations update, ICANN accountability update, CCTLD news, customer standing committee and root zone evolution review committee, PTI update, accountability framework, and we end with our council meeting. Please note that on Thursday, first thing in the morning, the cross-committee sponsored by the, proposed by CCNSO and GNSO on moving towards a data-driven ICANN. So it will be very nice for the CCNSO community still available to attend. And since we are on top of the hour, I will let you look at your email so you can see all the other details and we can continue with the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alejandra. Any questions regarding agenda? Agenda for CC, NSO, or agenda in general? Okay. If not, let's move back to our meeting agenda. And let's go back to all the updates. Update from drafting team for PDP charter. Unfortunately, Nigel is not with us today. Bart, could you give a brief update on this?
Very briefly, yesterday the drafting team met. They discussed the two charters or the draft charters. The topics have been identified after a second reading, so hopefully by over the next 2 weeks the drafting team will be able to finalize the two charters, and they will then be included in the issue report, which you can expect prior to the Copenhagen meeting. That's my update.
Thank you very much. Any questions regarding that? If no, let's move to the council updates. I think I more or less already updated you for the review teams, operating standards and everything. Any updates from ByteTeachers? Byron unfortunately had to leave. Maybe Demi would like to say something. Okay, if not any councillors would like to... Oh, Demi, okay. You want to say something? Okay, no updates from Demi. Any updates from councillors? No updates from regional organizations? None. Secretariat?
No, thank you, Katrina.
Okay. Then we have written updates from GNSO. Patrick who provided us with an update, and then we have update from ALAC provided by Maureen. I'd like to welcome Bafa, our new liaison to ALAC. That was her first council meeting. She can stay 2 minutes more. Welcome and I hope you will enjoy meetings just as much as any one of us. So thank you. Thank you for volunteering and for taking up on this role. So about the next meetings. As you know, it's in Copenhagen, and we will have, on Sunday, we'll have our workshop and prep meeting noon local time. Lunch will be provided. And so we will need to discuss the roles and responsibilities of the councillors. And also, as you know, every year, the first meeting of every year, we elect the chair and our vice chairs, and also standing committees. And then we have to discuss and approve our annual work plan. It was provided to you. It was a monthly work plan, but work on this annual work plan and discuss it during the meeting. So then we will have ALAC CTSO Council meeting on Sunday from Sunday 5 p.m. It will be last for 1 hour. ALAC asked for additional 30 minutes, but unfortunately, due to some other issues, we could not subscribe to that, so it will be only 1 hour. Last time it was a really very interesting discussion, so I hope this will be just as interesting. This time we will have fine-tune the agenda for the meeting. Yes, as Maureen stated in the chat window, we will provide you with the agenda shortly. Then we'll have the meeting with GNSO Council. It's on Monday from 12:15 till quarter to 2. We will also need to think about an agenda and what things that we would like to discuss there. Then a board CTSO meeting, as you heard already, is confirmed for Tuesday 2. And apparently they haven't provided us with their questions yet, but rumors have that say that they will ask about implementation of all the necessary mechanisms related to the EC. Of course, we also will ask the same questions back to them. If you think of any questions we would like to discuss with the board, we will send another email asking for these questions. I think that the discussion last time Well, apart from a few glitches, it was a very, very interesting and inspiring. Really, it'd be nice if you could think of nice, or maybe not so nice questions that we would like to hear from the board. And we also, we submitted our report on EPSRP to the board, so something that we could ask them to comment on. And then we have TNSO GAC meeting. Also need some things that we need to discuss. One more thing, Chris and Mike, they, as you probably noticed, they keep reminding us that people who would like to take their seats on the ICON board should do that or learn about the board well in advance. So in Copenhagen, they will give us some initial briefing on that. And then most probably we'll organize more webinars and things for everyone who is interested to learn more about the overview of the board and the roles and responsibilities of ICON electors, time commitment and other stuff. So, and then of course we will have our face-to-face council meeting. It will be on Wednesday at 5 local time. And one of the things that we have to do is elect the chair and vice chairs. Any questions about Copenhagen? You will have more information in due time as soon as we have anything to report to you. Peter was writing something, now Lennon is writing something. So if you have questions, just please raise your hand and you'll have a slot. So work plan, updated work plan, is monthly work plan is included in the press materials. Any questions about that? Apparently no. Any other business? Yes, please, Peter.
Thank you, Katrina. I had 2 points to make, and one I missed the opportunity when it was discussed earlier. But on the liaison for the GNSO, Patrick, in a sort of light informal debrief, told me that, first of all, he really enjoyed that opportunity, but also that at the beginning he was a bit lost because there was no guidance on what we actually expected from a liaison. So it's probably good practice for incoming liaisons to at least have a sit down with the chairs and vice chairs so that they better understand their role. That is just a suggestion. And then the second point is I was looking for the latest financial contributions from CCTLDs to ICON, and I can't find them on the CCNSO financial contributions page, which I think stops at in 2011. So any guidance from Secretariat on finding that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Peter, this is Bart. So I've noted this as well in preparation of this. And we had a conversation in LA last time, and hopefully by Copenhagen there will be a more updated version. So we'll include, say, 2012 until 2000, at least 15, maybe 16, on the financial, or include links on the financial contribution page on the CCMSO website.
Okay, thank you, Bart, for update. And, Peter, thanks a lot for good ideas. Agree with you. We need to brief our liaisons, absolutely. You can see a message from in the chat window that we have to mine high exchange rate deals with. High exchange rates for commission fees in Copenhagen, about 13% on cash exchange and 45 Danish crowns minimum on cash withdrawal from ATM. So probably it's good idea to have some cash or just use your cards if you want to make a payment there. Okay, any other business? Any other business? No. If not, then thank you very much for being on the call. You're all noted and will be rewarded by a nice green square in your attendance sheet. So thank you very much for participation and asking questions and providing your feedback. So thank you very much and see you in Copenhagen.
Thank you. Bye, all.